So now we're doing it. I'm talking to Junior Williams on Steve Martin's Unreal Bluegrass on Worldwide Bluegrass.
I'm here. I'm more of a baritone today than a tenor, which is good because I think all tenor singers want to be bass singers and all bass singers want to be tenor singers. I know I want to be a billionaire, but, you know, that's not going to happen either. But you can always dream, Steve. You can always dream.
Let me just set this up. A week ago Wednesday, in the mail, I got Time Machine, which is a new recording from Newtown. And I was headed to a station that I do a jazz show here in Cincinnati. And it's about a half hour away. So I like to, you know, before I put things on the air, I listen to the whole thing. So I love Newtown anyway. So I'm putting Time Machine in. And I'm almost to my exit over in Ohio where I get off to do the jazz program. And I called you. And I went past my exit to make sure we could talk, and I come back around. And, man, it was just, I was like, this is great. I thought, I got Junior's number here somewhere, so I'm in the dark probably doing something illegal in Ohio looking for your number. And you're somewhere trying to get something to eat, and here I am bothering you. But, man, it was that immediate to me. I had to talk to Junior. I got your number. I said, let's talk right now. We got to get on the air. And I love it. It's just a great album, man.
Thank you so much. I appreciate it.
Did you get your dinner that night, even though I interrupted you?
I did, and that was fine. The folks did not wait on me, but it's all good. I eat faster than most people anyway.
So you make
Katie it. Katie tells me to slow down. She said, "I'm not going to take it from you, so you can slow down and take your time." But I'm just that's not me.
It's not a pack of puppies. We're all people here.
Mm-hmm.
So you get out of the block slow, but you catch up by the finish line.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely.
Oh man! And right now you're down in Nashville. Tell the folks what you're doing down there, and then you're going to play Station Inn. Then we're going to talk about some other stuff about the album.
We Jim Hurst called Katie a month or so ago and asked if we wanted to be a part of a little concert series they put on down here in the Country Music Hall of Fame, and she of course said yes. She had played in Jim's band a few years ago. And we had this opportunity. We were playing the Station Inn anyway. So she said, this would be great for us to go down and play for the folks down there that are touring the Country Music Hall of Fame. And then we'll go on over to the Station Inn and play this evening. And we've had a ball. It's been really great.
Well, you, of course, you know, if Jim Hurst says, can you come down, don't you pretty much go down?
Yeah. It's pretty much, yeah, if he says jump, you just say how high.
One, by the way, and I'm always saying that because he's so good, but he's one of the sweetest guys you'd meet in the world. And if Jim asks you for
Absolutely.
A favor, then, buddy, you're just going to drop what you can do and go. And such a nice guy. And just, gosh, what a wonder. Did you all get to play together or just be there at the same setting?
No, we were there at the same setting. He came out and played about 20 minutes, maybe 30 minutes, and then introduced us, and we came out and played about 45. And then Claire Lynch is getting ready to play now.
Man.
And I noticed some other folks coming in. I'm not sure exactly who they were. But there's a couple more bands, I think, that are coming in to play. I think it ends at 5 o'clock.
Yeah, okay. Last time I saw Jim Hurst, he said, any requests? And I said, Mustang Sal. And he kind of looked at me over my glasses. And, buddy, he tore it up for like 10 minutes. And the bluegrass crowd is probably thinking, what's going on here? But he just kind of looked at me and grinned and thought, all right, here we go, bud. And it was phenomenal, phenomenal.
He is one of the most fantastic guitar players I've ever heard in my life.
I agree with you.
He's so tasteful in what he does. And he can do much more than he does on stage. If you're backstage just hanging out, you know, while he's tuning up and warming up, he plays some of the most outlandish stuff. And like you said, he's just a sweetheart of a guy. He's a teddy bear.
Mm-hmm.
I would, if he called me at 4 a.m. and said, hey, I need you in Nashville, I'd jump in my car and go right then. I wouldn't ask questions.
Absolutely.
He's just that type of person.
He is. He really is. So let's talk about the, we're talking to Junior Williams here, in case people are tuning in late on Steve Martin's Unreal Bluegrass. He's in Nashville right now, just played with Newtown at the Country Music Hall of Fame, and just tell everybody out there, in case they don't know who's with Newtown, let's break that down a little bit. I know you got a Canadian bass player.
Yeah. Thanks for reminding me. Terry Poirier came to this band in 2008. He had moved to Lexington from Canada and married a hometown girl there in Lexington. And I actually found him on Facebook. And Katie was looking for a bass player at the time. And I had known Terry from playing festivals when I was with Newfound Road up in New Brunswick. And I told her, I said, this is the guy you want. This is a guy who can go to Nashville with you in a day's notice and play every note to every song you want him to play. Give him the CD and let him listen to it. And he did. And it was absolutely fantastic. I think she hired him on the spot.
Terry's a good guy.
Yeah, Terry's here. CJ Kane is a resident guitar player and songwriter, and he wrote six tunes on this new record that are absolutely fantastic songs, great story songs. He's written more here in the last little bit that he recorded and sent to Katie, and he won't let me listen to them. But he's becoming a really, really great songwriter, and I think he's going to probably have a lot of cuts for a lot of other folks within this industry. Of course, Clint Hurd came to the band early this year. James Key had to exit the band, and Clint came on board, I think, March or April, and, man, he came in like gangbusters and played some of the best mandolin that I've heard in a long, long time. He played with Dale and Bradley for a while, a couple of other bands there in Eastern Tennessee where he's from. And when he came to the band, we were just excited. I think he brought a fresh, new, you know, kind of a breath of fresh air to the band as just something a little bit different. And, of course, Katie, I think she started this band around 2003. And it was the Katie Penn Band at that time. And then some guys came on and left, came on and left. CJ was there for almost the whole ride. And then decided to change the name to Katie Penn in Newtown. And then she decided, since I was singing some lead and other guys were singing some parts and singing lead more, that we could just drop her name from the band and it should just be Newtown. But she's the force behind this band. She does the booking. She does everything. She's an absolute workhorse for this band. And plays some of the most tasteful fiddle I've ever heard.
Well, let me say this, though, June. Let me say this, and you can amplify on this. But let me see if this is what I feel when I see and hear Katie play. She pulls one of the stronger bows.
Absolutely.
You know what I'm saying? Explain. Tell the people what I mean.
Absolutely.
By that.
Well, I told her years ago when, actually, I think when we first started dating, I played some shows with her, and I said, I don't mean this disrespectfully, but you play like a man. You pull some of the best tone from a fiddle, and it's just that right arm. It's how you attack the strings with your fiddle bow. She plays aggressively when it needs to be aggressive. She plays very lightly, and she can do anything. She's one of the best fiddle players I know of, and I think this record will show people as they listen to the tunes on this record. I think they'll see what I'm talking about. She is absolutely one of the most underrated fiddle players in this industry.
I agree with you, and I think this may be the album to open everybody's eyes, not just to her, but to everybody in the band.
I think so. I think you're right, Steve.
It's wonderful. Let's talk about Time Machine then. And by the way, has it actually hit the street yet?
Pardon?
Has it actually for sale yet?
It is.
Okay.
It is. November 5th was the street date.
Okay.
So folks can go on our website, thenewtownband.com, and pick it up, or they can go to crossroadsmusic.com. We recorded this for Pisgah Ridge Records, which is an offshoot of Mountain Home Records, owned by Crossroads. And Mountain Home has, Dole Lawson, Quicksilver, the Grascals, the Boxcars, Lonesome River Band, a lot of great artists are associated with Crossroads and Mountain Home Music, and they decided to start another label. And we're, I think, one of the two or three artists that is on that label right now.
Well, in the first, before I called you in and actually got all the connections straight out, the only tune that I've played from the album is Rounder. But let's talk about the rest of the album, and I'll play more. When I let you go back to what you're doing, I'll throw in a few more tunes for the people that are listening. But you want to talk about some of the songs, and you mentioned the writing and some of the other things that's going on within the band. You want to talk about some of the tunes and maybe why you add? I'm always curious as to why you make selections to what actually gets to a recording.
Well, it's over the period of time I've been in the band, which was I started playing in the band in 2009. CJ has become the catalyst in bringing songs to the band. He writes, and then he listens to a lot of music, and he hears things in other tunes that I don't. There's a song on this record called Dublin Blues, and it was recorded and written by Guy Clark. The only version I heard was the Guy Clark version from maybe the Station Inn or Rosie's somewhere down here on a singer-songwriter night. It was just him and a guitar. And it was very slow, and it was just a different feel. He had a different feel, wrote it with a different feel than we sing it in. But CJ heard that, and he said, "Katie, I think you could sing this." And she said, "I don't know. It doesn't sound like a song that I should sing." But the more we toyed around with it, it worked perfectly for her voice. And we worked it up, and there it was. The folks at the record company love it. It was one of their favorites as they would come in and listen to us cutting the tracks and doing vocals. They all fell in love with it. It's a great tune.
You know, that's a great skill to have within a band like that. I'll tell you who was really, really good at that. It's Bill Emerson with the Country Gentlemen.
Oh yeah.
Fox on the Run, man. People think that's a bluegrass tune. It's not. He heard it in the car one day, and keeps a little cassette recorder with him, and pulled over and recorded it, and decided we ought to maybe do that. When that worked out,
it works out great. Yeah, well, can find tunes like that that are in a different genre, but you have the knack to bring them to the bluegrass and acoustic side of things. That's a talent within itself, and right. CJ is great.
Cool. Well, what kind of you're getting a good response, I think, from the album. It's doing well. It's getting good airplay. It has since I've gotten it, but it looks like it's going to take off for you.
I think so. We've heard from several folks with different radio stations around the country, and actually outside the country. A fellow in Australia has it, and he was blown away with it. He said he's going to play every tune on it every day. because he just loves the record, and we've got a lot of really good response. The last record we put out was just simply entitled New Town, self-titled CD, and for being an independent release, we had three different songs on three different charts, so we were very, very pleased with that, and people kind of know who we are now, or some folks know who we are, but I think this record is going to do a lot more to get our music out there than the last one did, and hopefully we do something that everybody likes. I hope, you know, to think that we go into any venue and before the night's out, someone likes something we've done. They might not like everything, but I hope we have enough of a variety of tunes that everyone likes something that we've done. If we do that, then we've been successful.
Well, and you guys in Newtown, you'll have that a tune on the album, and you have several that are right in the pocket of what people would say, oh, that's bluegrass instantly. I mean, like Rounder, I think, was one I picked out because it sort of kicked, even the way you kick it off, it's right in the pocket, man. But so the tune you were just, the Guy Clark tune you were just talking about is a different sort of a feel to it. But it's all done so well within the context of the instruments that you're using that I think that's what you're saying. This album, Time Machine, has good stuff top to bottom, but it has, you know, things within a range that's acceptable, I think, by everybody. But it's done so well that all the tunes are kind of a little different from each other, but they're all still good. But everybody can find something on there.
I hope so. They're all story songs. When you listen to the record, you'll find that they're all story songs. CJ wrote a song about his grandfather and his time in World War II called Thin Red Line, and it chronicles a lot of what he endured and had to go through and his time in the South Pacific from 1943 to 1946. It's a great tune. I love the song. He asked me to sing it, and I was floored that he would even, you know, let me sing that song. But it's one of my very favorite songs on the record. Another song he wrote is called The Widow's Ghost, which is about a Civil War family. And the husband and son are brought into the Civil War. They go out to fight for the South, and they're killed. So the mother and wife are left. She's left there to fend for the family farm, so she buys a gun. And she hears the Union soldiers coming toward her. And she's killed in this little skirmish there. A great story. It's one of the most well-written songs I've heard in a very, very long time. Tells a very compelling story. He has a knack for that. It draws you in. The tunes he writes, they draw you in to the story. And I'm excited for people to hear this record.
You know, it's funny, when we talked, when I was in my car a week ago Wednesday, you know, I pulled you out of dinner, which I apologize for, but I was just excited. I mean, it's one of those things where I thought I got to talk to Junior, because I just got it. And the very first thing Junior started talking about, of course, the band members I know well and have great respect for, but as soon as we got through the initial why I was calling, he started talking about CJ's writing. You know,
yeah, so, I'm just blown away by it.
Yeah, I mean, I really am. This is not something made up for a radio broadcast. You know, 8 o'clock at night or whenever it was when I was calling you,
right.
We start talking about CJ's writing. So, and I think you're right. These are some really strong, powerful songs. Of course, you have to do them well. You have to execute them. You have to have great songs, and you have to execute them correctly. And
we spend a lot of time going over who should sing what, at what tempo. You know, who kicks it off, who plays certain things, how the song's structured. We take a lot of time to make sure that it's done correctly. And we do it so the audience can get the utmost satisfaction out of it. You have to tell a story. You have to tell it in a compelling way. And you have to have the right person bring that story. So we spend a lot of time. Maybe you should sing this. Well, I don't know. It didn't sound like me. I'll try it. But, well, no, it didn't work. So maybe you should try it. So we spent a lot of time in doing that to make sure that we got the best possible rendition and the best possible recording for people to hear.
Well, it shows. It shows, if people get the album, they can see the tunes on there. But how many did you cull down to get to this number? I'm always curious what those last little decisions are. It's kind of like the NCAA tournament. Who's on the bubble? What did you have tunes that were out there that were just, you know, you got to be sure about them? And how do you make that decision? Is that like a band process?
Yes, we had a few more that we had worked up and thought about recording, but the record company, they limited us to 10. So we just began to think what songs work best with this theme. And I really didn't even really get that there was a theme until CJ brought it to my attention. He said, you know, these are all story songs. Some are true, some are not. Some could be. Some, it's possible that, you know, by some weird, you know, cosmic thing that, hey, I told someone's story that lived 150 years ago exactly as it happened.
Mm-hmm.
So we sat down and said which songs best fit the theme of this album, and I think we chose the right 10.
Well, when had you chosen a title for the album yet? Now it's called Time Machine. When did that come about?
We hadn't. We were going over, well, most records are named after a song or a, you know, something within a song. So we started going through the songs that we recorded, and nothing came to mind. And then CJ just sent me a message one day and said, "What about Time Machine?" And I said, I don't know. And then he said, "Well, think about it like this. All these songs have a story, and they're all set in a certain period of history. Going back from, there's a song about a gospel song that was written by a lady, Julie Miller, that was from a soundtrack called Song Catcher. And Katie sings it. Beautiful song.
Sure. From the movie.
And from the movie. Yeah. Yes, sir.
Yeah.
And it goes from Jesus to present day. And he said, all these songs have a place in history. If you could go back in time, you could go back to a time in history where you could see each of these songs play out. And I said, but it makes perfect sense. Absolutely makes perfect sense. So it was Time Machine.
I love the thought that's gone into this. Even just talking to you, which I didn't know what the answer was going to be on. I never know what anyone's going to say on this show, Junior,
right.
If I haven't figured it out by now. I just kind of talk and we get there. But I love the thought that everything that went into this album. And I will tell you that from what you're telling me, which maybe I could have guessed at some of the effort, but what I'm telling you, from what you're telling me now, it shows, and I keep coming back to that, this album really shows all of that thought and all that effort. I mean, not that the other one didn't. I'm not suggesting that, but as we talk about the new
right.
album, The Time Machine, it really shows all this effort and thought and concern, all these things that you're giving voice to now. It shows up when you put this CD in your player, I think.
Well, and as my part goes, I really didn't think that far ahead. But I think that is CJ in writing most of the tunes and finding some of the other tunes and thinking farther ahead. What does this mean? All these songs, okay, they're all stories. There's a theme here. So maybe wrote a couple more to fall within that theme, that you know, jaunt through history. And it worked perfectly. If it was his idea and blueprint from the beginning, then he's a genius. And if it wasn't, he's still kind of a genius for seeing it and coming up with it and making that jump through history with all these songs. I mean, I give him so much praise because of this. He's really spearheaded this record.
Hey, Junior.
And it's a tribute to his songwriting and his vision for this band.
Junior, is he listening?
I don't know. I kind of doubt it.
Okay, good, because you're just building him up to where you're going to have to pay him a lot of money. We'll just keep this a secret.
I'm being honest.
I'm just being honest about it. I'm pulling your leg, man. I think it's great. And as I tell people, I can tell you the number of times on one finger that I've, in the middle of driving my car, have called someone to talk. And I've got a lot of phone numbers in my phone after doing this for a year or so. And you're the first person I call. I could have called Terry, but I talk to Terry all the time. You know, but I thought I'm going to call Junior because he plays banjo. And the very first thing you started talking about was the writing. And I said, that's just cool. I mean, it's nice that it wasn't just something you told me in private, that you're saying it in public. Like you say, you're just being honest. So this is great. So let's talk just a second about your banjo. What are you playing these days? What'd you play in Nashville today?
I'm playing an Arthur Hatfield-built banjo. I've played a couple of his banjos before. I had a walnut banjo and had a mahogany banjo. And I remembered hearing Craig Smith play, and I played with Newfound Road for a while, and we played some shows where Craig was in a different band playing, and I just loved the tone of his banjo. It wasn't loud. It didn't attack you like a banjo does, which Katie says the most obnoxious thing ever built. But it was just it had such a sweet tone. It wasn't loud. Wasn't overbearing. It just had a great tone, and it was light. And I'm getting old,
I know.
And I have an old shoulder. and it's about 4 pounds, almost 5 pounds lighter than my other banjo was.
Wow.
But still has great tone. It has a brass hoop, like the old RB1s back in the 30s.
Sure.
And Arthur told me, when I suggested this and asked him about building it for me, he said, I've got a dozen of these brass hoops because guys will come in and want me to do conversions on their banjos. So I've got a dozen hanging here. So he said, come up with a fingerboard inlay that you want and a peghead inlay that you want and just design the thing and we'll go at it. So I did, and he built a great look. It looks old. I mean, it looks like an old RB1 mm-hmm. with the seagull inlays. And he built it, brought it to me, and put an old head on it. The old head looks like it was, you know, from 1939.
Oh, yeah, cool.
Just scratched up and dirty, but it just gives more character to the banjo itself. And I've had gentlemen come up at festivals and say, what old Gibson are you playing? That sounds great. It's an old pre-war banjo. No, it's only like 3 years old. And they're just blown away. And Arthur said if he got enough interest about it that he might put it into his line of banjos.
Yeah.
I don't have a name for it, but it would have to have a name. But it's a great banjo. I'm just really, really tickled with it. He's one of the premier builders in banjo building.
Oh, yeah, no question.
He's just incredible.
No question. Is Arthur down in Tennessee?
He's in just out of Glasgow, Kentucky.
That's right. Okay, all right. You're right. It does, and for people listening, what Junior, we're talking to Junior Williams of Newtown here on the Unreal Bluegrass Show. What Junior's talking about as far as weight of a banjo, if you've ever stood and played one for a couple hours in a show, and I always wonder why the next day my back hurts or my feet hurt.
Oh, yeah.
A normal mm-hmm. banjo that you're going to buy, a good banjo, and there's nothing wrong with the fact that a banjo might go, what, 12, 13 pounds maybe?
I think they're right at 14, between 13 and 14, some are around 15. Depends on the wood you get.
If you got a top tension, top tensions weigh a little more.
And
I guess
top,
I got more metal.
Oh, Lord, yeah. The top tensions are nearly 20 pounds.
So what Junior's talking about is he's got him a banjo that, did you say, what, 3 to 4 pounds lighter than
absolutely.
Yeah, that makes a difference.
It's at least 4 pounds lighter.
It makes a difference. It makes a difference, and if it sounds like
it does.
That, you know, heck yeah, why not? Why not? If it's got that sound tone to it, of course, you don't give yourself enough credit because I know you're a humble guy. Junior's one heck of a banjo player. I've never seen him on stage where he wasn't just right where he needed to be, and not just in the tone and the volume, which you have to adjust for the song, but Junior has really good backup, which if there's players out there, you know what I'm talking about. Most people can hit a lick pretty good, but it's what you do all the other time. You're not doing a solo, and your solo is what, maybe 5 or 10% of what you're doing. So it's the support that you give, and you have good taste in the band setting. You have good taste, which I think is critical.
Well, thank you, Steve. I get lucky. I'm the luckiest person around because I think I suck, but that's beside the point.
You just get lucky.
You know, I'm very lucky. I'm very lucky in the fact that I play with incredible musicians, and they challenge me to play better every single night.
You're doing it. I mean, as far as I can tell, you're doing it. So just keep, you
know. Well, I appreciate it.
Keep hiding or whatever you're doing to make everybody think because you're pulling it off. Great. Hey, let's talk about, of course, we got Time Machine. We've talked about that, what a wonderful album it is. And then we have a wonderful event, and you had mentioned to me, I think before we went on the air, that you're going to play the Station Inn, and then you'll probably be done for the year. And why is that?
Katie decided back in the early part of the year that she might want a baby. And she said the reason was, one of the reasons, is I'm getting old.
Were her words, quote, I'm getting old, or did she say, you're getting old?
No. She said to me, honey, we might think about a baby because you're getting old.
Okay.
And I said, okay, well, that's, you know, that's true. And she said, I don't want you and the baby in diapers at the same time. So, long story short, she is hopefully going to deliver a little, we already know it's a little girl.
Oh, good.
A little baby girl. December 30th is her due date. Could be a week before, so we could be having a Christmas baby, which would be fantastic.
You know what? Our daughter now will be 25 on the 21st of December, mm-hmm. and we brought her home on Christmas Eve. And it's a cool it's a cool thing, man. I still remember it like it was yesterday. So the key...
Well, I have three children from a previous marriage. My son's 25. My girls are 20 and 16. And a friend of mine back home in Irvin, when I told him the news, he said, "Hey, man, we're the same age. We're like 50. I said, "Yeah." He said, "Do you realize that you're going to be 68 years old when your kid graduates high school?" I didn't, Steve, you're laughing, but I didn't see the humor.
Well, they'll still call it a father-daughter dance, okay?
Yeah.
When she's 18, they'll still do
it. I can't wait for the father-daughter dance, and I'm, you know, riding like a scooter.
But see, think
of those little rascals,
Think of all the extra time you've added now by taking that four pounds of weight off your shoulder. You're going to be like a spring chicken, man.
I hope so. I'm excited about it. I know she is,
I'm really happy for you both. And you're welcome. Before we went on the air, I said, get it in under that New Year's Day. You want to get that deduction now. You want to sneak that
in. Absolutely. See, I know people who said, "Oh, no. You want to be the first one. You want to be the first baby."
Mm-mm.
Because they give you so much stuff at the hospital.
Mm-mm.
I said, "Dude,
mm-mm.
I want that tax break."
You got it.
At the end of the year, I want that tax break.
If it looks like things are slowing down and maybe they've missed the time when her labor, just walk up and scare every once in a while.
I just grab my banjo and start playing. I know she'll do anything to get rid of me then. So
they won't let those in the hospital, I don't think.
Probably not.
That's probably a good
thing. The psych ward maybe, but
wouldn't that be funny if you went to the door and everybody on the other side was playing a banjo?
That would be hilarious.
That would be good. That would be a little frightening. Oh man, this is great news. What a great year the band has had, and you and Katie are going to have a wonderful year, and of course you do anyway. But I love the band so much, and the new album Time Machine, man, it just absolutely kills. It kills on every tune, and I'm just thrilled for you. I'm thrilled for you, and your time in Nashville, you're going to have a good time, and you come back up here, and you'll have a baby, and everything will be wonderful.
Absolutely.
Man, this is great. Junior, I know you're fighting a little bit of an illness because you had your big opening party about a week or so ago, and you were sick the next day, and I'm glad you were able to find some time. You should probably go eat and rest up a little bit. You probably got stuff to do tonight. So it's been great, man. I appreciate you coming in.
You're welcome, Steve. Anytime.
All right, buddy. Well, I'll hold you to that. You just know anytime you want to talk about anything, you give me a holler.
Absolutely.
All right, brother.
Be glad to.
Take care. Junior Williams in Newtown's great. This is fun. Thanks, bud.
Thanks, Steve.
I'll see you, man.
See you, buddy.
There we have. That was Junior Williams. And that it actually is what happened. I was in my car a week ago Wednesday and just had gotten the new Time Machine album in the mail. And I like to listen to things in the car because I really focus on things. And you don't have to pay attention to traffic signals and other vehicles. Just listen to the music, and I was listening to it. I got about almost through it, and called Junior right away. I had Junior's number in my phone from way back, and pulled him out of dinner. And I said, "Man, I drove past my exit so that I could talk to Junior more about how good of an album this was." And by the time I found my exit back again, we were saying, "Man, we got to get on, talk about this, do something, and pick a date." And then we had a date figured out. So there, that's fun. And Terry Poirier, wonderful bass player. He has a show every Wednesday, Canadian Grass on Worldwide Bluegrass. And it's a good one. Terry's a great guy, as Junior said. Well, that was a blast. Thanks so much, Junior, and congratulations to the band on a great album. And Katie and Junior, man, blessed event coming up. Congratulations. We had just finished a tune from the Country Gazette when I hooked up with Junior. We're going to go back to a little more Alan Mundy music and a whole bunch of more bluegrass here on Steve Martin's Unreal Bluegrass on Worldwide Bluegrass.